When it comes to social media, how much are you willing to share about your life? Vic and Deng are an Australian couple who share intimate details of their relationship and family life on YouTube. They're part of a growing movement of social media influencers whose followers tune in regularly for updates. Vic and Deng, welcome to you both.
Hi, welcome.
Now, what prompted you both to start documenting your life?
So we actually sort of started this just after we finished school. Victoria sort of came up with the idea, and
it was just a hobby that we were both able to get on board with and share, and, you know, just experience new things and like capture things. And we just love being able to look back at what we'd just done.
So it's like having all the videos on the laptop, but they're out there in the world as well. Well, the things that you post are just really lovely and ordinary and everyday. And you got 9 million views on a post about doing the dishes and putting the baby to bed. It's like kind of like the opposite of the Kardashians.
Pretty much.
Why are people so excited about that? So many people click on that.
I think because, like, when you see YouTube or, you know, social media, you see a lot of glamorous things. And a lot of us sit there and think, oh, you know, I wish that's what my life was like. But Deng and I like to show what things are really like and, you know, just let people know they don't need to have such high expectations to, you know, do things.
Yeah, I think a lot of our viewers can sort of connect with us directly. You know, it's a real world type of scenario, like, you know. But, yeah, I think that's what our viewers really enjoy about
It is very refreshing to see people in their tracksuit pants like normal people, closing the curtains and cooking tea. Vic, YouTubers who build up a following, people start referring to them as influencers. Do you and Deng see yourselves in that way?
I don't think we see ourselves that way at all. We just see ourselves as Deng and Vic, just normal people doing our normal life things. But, yeah, we definitely do understand that some people would class us as influencers, so whatever they want to class us as, I guess. Yeah.
Does it feel weird, but Deng?
Yes. It's unreal sometimes. Like, it's just unreal. We like Victoria and I see our subscribers more as like a community, rather than fans in that type of way. And you know, we have a lot of contact with our subscribers. You know, through be it Instagram, Twitter, or YouTube.
That's really interesting. So it's like a whole bunch of platforms, not just the one channel. We're on Life Matters today with Vic and Deng. You can check them out on their YouTube channel. Tamer Lever joins us too. He's an associate professor in internet studies at Curtin University. Tamer, welcome.
Hi.
So, Tama, is there an actual definition of what an influencer is?
So generally speaking, an influencer is someone whose connection and clout comes primarily from the social media platform. So not so much from something else that they're doing in their world, but from the fact that they're on social media. So I think Vic and Deng would fit into that category, even if that's not how they self-identify.
You qualify. Yay.
Yay.
Tama, does YouTube have a particular point where it classifies you as an influencer? Is there a number?
There isn't really a magic number. I think influence is more about how your community or your audience responds to you, whether you come back. And there is sort of, I guess, you know, you're certainly talking tens of thousands of people at least, but the number isn't as specific. It's really more about the way that you use social media. And so, for example, the fact that Vic and Deng clearly post regularly and that's part of the rhythm of their life and the rhythm of the way that people engage with them, that does make them influencers in a particular way, for sure.
And does the algorithm that YouTube uses prioritise certain types of content in the space that Vic and Deng are posting in?
Oh, YouTube's algorithm is a mysterious beast. It does prefer people that post regularly, so it does prioritise what we might call conversational media, where there is regular engagement that the audiences do engage with and that the content does go up at least once or twice a week. It's also true that the algorithm does prioritise content that, how should we say, does seem authentic and intimate. So I think Vic and Deng's content certainly fits into that category quite nicely.
Yeah, well, and Vic and Deng, you're extremely open about the things that you talk about, mental health, trying to conceive, sex and pregnancy, and I think you vlogged your son's birth.
Yeah, we did.
How do you decide what to include and where to draw the line?
For us, it's a very like easy question. As long as the safety of ourselves and those people we're around is protected, we don't see why we wouldn't share it because, you know, nothing's at risk. And just why not? It's just a memory that we're capturing, and if other people can get happy from that same memory, why would we not share it with them? So,
and you get responses too, don't you? You get people reaching out to you about some of the things you talk about.
Yes. So we do have sort of viewers from all walks of life. So there is sort of like a broad spectrum of the situations that some people might be going through. So we do get messages from, people just sort of wanting to seek advice and that type of thing, but yeah.
Well, and being of South Sudanese background, I hear that you get people from those communities in Australia and other places reaching out to you, Ding. What's that like? Does that feel like a responsibility?
Yes, in a kind of way it does. I am South Sudanese, for those of you who have not met myself yet or seen us. I do sort of get people from within our community, seeking advice.
That's great to know that you're there in a visible form for them to tap into your lives. Here's a snippet from Vic and Deng's vlog where, Vic, you're talking to your son, doing housework, keeping things very, very real.
Yay! Mummy put these ones in the wash. Oh. Toothbrush. I'm thinking I may end this vlog soon because it is 4:45. I absolutely reek. Like, there's me just telling the whole internet I reek. But I do. I've been cleaning all day and, I just got finished vacuuming and that made me work up a sweat. I swear, pushing a vacuum around, like a whole house just cleaning. So I'm busting for a shower as soon as Dan gets home.
I just was nodding my head. I remember that time from having little babies. Tama Leva, a lot of people are obviously really interested in watching people do everyday things. Why does that lead to so much online engagement?
I think one of the things that people really crave online is is authenticity. And I think a lot of influencers suggest that they're authentic, but there are different levels in which that isn't true. And I think certainly for the sort of category that Vic and Dean would fall into, that real intimacy, that sense that they let people into the, not just the bits of their lives that they want to share in terms of the polish, but the everyday, I think there is a real appeal to people to feeling part of people's lives. And for them, where they describe the people that subscribe as their community, I think that it might feel like a community specifically because people can engage with the banalities, the everyday, and it does feel like they're quite open and quite able to share a whole lot of things. So I think that sense of authenticity is something that people turn to YouTube for, and I think it does appeal to quite a lot of people.
And Tama, what about the role of comments in building relationships between viewers and YouTubers, whether it's directly on their channel or, as Vic and Deng mentioned, on other social media platforms as well? How important is that mode, that sense of two-way communication?
I think that sense of two-way communication is essential for really making turning an audience into a community. I think if an audience feels like they are being listened to and they are part of a conversation, not just viewing, then it really does change the nature, and that's something that YouTube has been really, really good for. Of course, we're in a bit of a transition at the moment, though, where YouTube is getting more and more worried about having people comment on videos that feature children. And I know that Vic and Deng have been in the throes of trying to figure that out, because obviously I think YouTube has started blocking comments on some of their videos because it features their son. And I think YouTube is sort of doing a mass response because it got fined quite heavily in the US for not protecting the data of children well on YouTube. So I think they're trying to figure out the rules for the whole world. And I think Vic and Deng are but one couple who are in the midst of watching the platform that they use figure that out around them.
What's that been like for you guys, having that roll out kind of on the public stage around your channel?
It's been kind of a bit of a letdown. Like, I understand why YouTube has enforced these, new rules. But for us, that is how we did connect and contact everyone. So we would always try and reply to every single comment and just have conversations and, get to know the people that were commenting. But with this new rule, we've really encouraged our subscribers to go and message us, mainly on Instagram, because that's where we're secondly most active. So they'll send us messages or comment on our Instagram photos. So it's still there, but yeah, it would have been easier if the comments were still on.
I was really interested in the cultural Q&A one you did, because it sounded like there was a lot of engagement with that and people were really keen to connect with you. Some interesting comments backwards and forwards, but do you feel like people have enough access to those kind of open, honest conversations about those things?
I personally think it's sort of, depending on where you do live, but yeah, overall, I feel like there is sort of a lack, like people sort of don't want to talk about those things, depending on what community those people are from also. But I think at the moment we're sort of still, you know, getting to experience all those sort of things and, you know, actually making an effort to get around and start speaking about, you know, cultural background and certain behaviour and that sort of thing. But, yeah.
I thought you did a really great job on that Q&A, Dean, because it sounded like you were getting some great feedback, but also some pretty stereotypical questions. Yes. Do you get much negative feedback?
The majority of the feedback that we do get is usually fairly positive. But yeah, there is those, you know, one or two people out there that, yeah.
How do you cope with that?
It's something we've kind of just taught ourselves to not let get to us. Definitely at the start, I would always get very upset and take it very personal. But Deng would remind me that, you know, it doesn't need to be taken personal. You know, we're choosing to share this memory or this moment. So let them have their opinion and just move forward. So I guess I stopped kind of focusing on the negative and just started looking at the positives.
And Vic, you talked before about the fact that it's a community. You don't see them as fans, yeah. You see them as a community. And that is a plus, as well as building some income from advertising revenue if you're a stay-at-home mum, as you are. How do you navigate, though, which advertising opportunities you guys might say yes to?
So that question, yeah, Deng and I are very, very picky what companies and brands we would work with. Because we see everyone as a community, it's sort of like we wouldn't go and tell our friends to go use this product if we didn't like it. So it's the same thing with YouTube. We wouldn't be going and telling people to use something we don't like if we don't think it's maybe good quality or something like that. We just would just leave it because, yeah, at the end of the day, YouTube for us is about making those memories and that's the main goal out of YouTube for us. So.
And I imagine that the viewers would go tell you exactly what they thought if you
they
picked
would.
Something that you didn't like. Yeah. Tama Lever, advertisers obviously really excited about YouTube because they can connect with these people who have this sense of friendship or connection with their viewers. Is there an irony here that advertisers are asking people who've built up this trust to then sell products to their followers?
I'm not sure if it's an irony, but I certainly think it's a very complicated landscape because obviously what many viewers are signing up for effectively is that sense of authenticity. And once money enters into the equation, it's a really difficult thing to balance. So it does sound like Vic and Deng have got a pretty good sense of what suits them and their community or their audience. But we have seen many examples where especially people who tend to make more and more of their living off YouTube tend to accept more and more product placement and it crosses a particular line. And the feedback from a community when they think any form of YouTuber has gone too far in accepting advertising can be pretty vicious. So I think it's a difficult one to balance. And it's also difficult that for a lot of people who are in that space, there aren't really clear guidelines that apart from trying to be transparent, which I think everyone knows is a good thing, how much is too much, what's appropriate, are really quite difficult questions that you have to figure out often by making a mistake, crossing a line and go, okay, that was too far for someone. Now we know what feels right. So I think it's difficult when many YouTubers don't have a grounding in those sort of ideas or those sort of thoughts. And it's something that perhaps YouTube could help people a bit better with in terms of providing some sort of guidance.
Does YouTube have an interest in helping people or are they just going to sit back and watch?
YouTube has a vested interest in making sure the people that create content continue to do so. So I think they do try, but it's a global platform and often people are initially at least constrained by national rules and many jurisdictions don't have clear rules about what's appropriate. And if they do have rules, it doesn't really tell you how to make those decisions. It just tells you have to declare it, for example.
Vic and Deng, you're pregnant with your second child. Congratulations
Thank
to
you.
Both of you. Do you think you'll be able to keep up with posting and filming and editing?
I mean, we have spoken about it once or twice, but the ideal plan would be, you know, take a couple of weeks off. It's after the bubs arrives and hopefully we can get back to maybe 2 videos a week because at the moment we do aim for 3 a week. But I mean, we'll just see how we go and I don't think that, yeah, we'll put too much pressure on ourselves to upload too. So it might drop down to 1. We'll just see how it all goes, I guess.
Yeah, mind you, Victoria's very organised. so, yeah, she stays on top of all the editing and that sort of thing.
I try to.
Yeah.
When you've got a gorgeous little boy, Kajok, how's he feel about being on the phone, on the laptop, on the screen?
He loves like seeing himself on there or like recording himself. So yeah, it's pretty cute. But it's, yeah, it's quite interesting because we actually only give him minimal time like with the screen. So yeah.
Yeah, he's on it, but he's not watching it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming on the program today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Vic and Ding are a young Australian vlogging couple. You can follow their channel, Ding and Vic, on YouTube. And Tamer Lever, thank you. He's an Associate Professor of Internet Studies at Curtin University.